life.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pag Show.
The Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also, the live video stream. It's the Joe Pags Show, coming your way on a Friday. Now, give me some strings. Horn section. Oh, yes. Exactly right. What? What day is it anyway? Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh. Thank God it's Friday. Carrie, how's it going? You good?
It is Friday.
Just fine. How are you?
Friday.
You know.
Thank God. Oh, one of those days, huh?
Thank God it is Friday.
Not buying a truck, but...
I am looking online.
Okay. Hey, let's make it a free speech Friday. Let's go. Freedom. Uh-huh. Say what? Bring it down. Take it up a notch. Great to have you. There's a lot going on, lots to get to. We've got an offer at bottom of hour number two. Peter DeBrosca, he's written a book about how the media is, in fact, the media of the enemy of the people. The media, the enemy of the people. And of course, the media freaks out when you do that. They're so surly and arrogant that the legacy media hates when you call them the enemy of the people. But I guess in this book, he just lists, you know, one after the other, after the other, after the other of examples of how exactly the media has just lied, just flat out lied to the people. So it's interesting. We'll have him on. Make sure you stick around for that. There is a lot to get to, however. A couple of big stories. Gary, if you don't mind getting ready for me, I know that you've got the hurricane story ready.
Yep.
Well, let's off the top, because we've got stations in Louisiana, and even if we did, we care about the people there. And certainly our big affiliate, KSEV in Houston, they're keeping an eye on this, because when it goes through the Gulf, you know, you're always keeping an eye on the coast of Texas as well. All of us in this region of the country could feel some effects from this hurricane, so we'll get to that in a minute. Also, Acosta's out. There was no doubt he was going to go, right? I mean,
no, I don't think so. I don't.
The thing that bothers me the most is not that he's out. I don't really care one way or the other. I said it yesterday. I'll say it again. He seemed like a nice guy when I met him at the White House when I interviewed him. I won't lose any sleep tonight that Alex Acosta is out as labor secretary. What bothers me is that the left has to say like four words and the right always genuflects and then does what they want. You know what I mean? And it's always, well, it's just, I don't want it to be a distraction to the administration and the good work they're doing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going, you know, the guy had a job. Why didn't, Carrie, let me ask you this. Wasn't it widely known that this guy Epstein was convicted back then and what the sentence was?
Yes. That was no surprise. It was no secret.
Can you pull up all the outrage by the left-wing media?
I can't, because I don't think there was.
Because the guy is an FOC. He's a friend of Clinton.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're a friend of Clinton, you get away with just about anything.
But
if you can somehow hang...
you're connected with Trump.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. If you can somehow hang this around Trump or his administration or a Republican, suddenly Epstein is the worst guy on planet Earth. He was fine. Now, this whole lenient sentence where he got to go home every day and just had to spend the night in some halfway house, that was fine for the left back then. So that's what bothers me about that story. We'll get into that as well. But do me a favor. Let's start with Barry, if you don't mind.
Okay. This is the latest from AccuWeather. Tropical Storm Barry strengthened Friday as it crawled west-northwest over the Gulf of Mexico with sustained winds of 65 miles per hour. Government officials and residents braced for impact from the first tropical storm that'll make landfall in the U.S. this year. Tropical storm force winds began lashing parts of the Louisiana coast early Friday morning, the National Weather Service said. Tropical storm conditions will spread inland over Louisiana and Mississippi Friday night. Additional strengthening of Barry is forecast prior to landfall Saturday morning, when maximum sustained winds of 74 miles per hour or greater are detected, and the storm will be classified as a hurricane. AccuWeather meteorologists believe Barry will make landfall as a hurricane along the central Louisiana coast. On Thursday afternoon, the National Hurricane Center issued a hurricane warning for a large portion of the Louisiana coast from Intracoastal City to Grand Isle. In New Orleans, neither mandatory nor voluntary evacuations have been ordered, as the city's mayor, LaToya Cantrell, advised residents to shelter in place. Cantrell said the city only enacts evacuations conditions for hurricanes of Category 3 force or higher, according to the Saffir-Simpson scale, and therefore sheltering in place is our strategy, the mayor told reporters at a news conference Thursday. If Barry maintains the track it's currently on, the storm could make landfall on Marsh Island, Louisiana, in Vermilion Bay, about 100 miles west of New Orleans. And the key to whether Barry becomes a hurricane before landfall or not will depend on the amount of time it's able to spend over the warm water of the Gulf of Mexico. However, the main threat from Barry will not be whether or not it's a hurricane at landfall, but rather how much rain is unleashed. Rainfall of 2 to 4 inches per hour can occur with Barry as it begins to move on shore. Rainfall totals will average 10 to 18 inches with an AccuWeather local storm max of 24 inches possible in some places.
So brace for it. Brace yourself. These things happen. The hope is that nobody will be hurt. Certainly nobody will be killed. If it's suggested that you evacuate, you don't have to. Generally speaking, they can't make you. But I'll never forget the first responders. It was a police chief somewhere. I can't remember. Somewhere in Florida, I think. Look, if you decide to stay, we're not going to come and try to save you. So do me a favor. Take a Sharpie and write your Social Security number on your arm so we can identify you later. And I think that's pretty effective. So what you do is a decision. Either I can have a hurricane party and be an idiot, or I can get the hell out of harm's way. As of right now, as you say, they're not asking anybody to evacuate.
Right.
They're not suggesting anybody to evacuate. But I'll always remember, you know, after Hurricane Rita and seeing, you know, the cars lined up on, what was it, I-45? I think it was on 45, going into Houston, into and out of Houston. It might have been I-10, but I think it was 45. Either way, it was all the highways where people, way too late, said, oh, I better get out of here. So if you have an opportunity now and you got a little time off of work, why not head out of town for a few days? What's the big deal?
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree.
And this is coming from a guy who grew up in South Florida. We had hurricanes all the time. I covered hurricanes as a reporter, as a news anchor. They're violent, horrible storms. I'll never forget. I was working at WLAJ in Lansing, Michigan. For those of you listening on WJIM in Lansing, we love you. And our sister station was WPEC Channel 12 in West Palm Beach, and they had a big hurricane coming in. And probably it was two or three hurricanes at once. It was Charlie and Francis and all sorts of stuff going on that one year. And I think it was like the year 2000, something like that. And I remember they were asking for help, and I flew in to help them out. I ended up being, I was in a trailer that was smaller than the one that I dealt with up in Harrison, Michigan recently.
Mm-hmm.
I was in a trailer all night, just being, and there was no way to broadcast out of there. I think they took a couple of shots of me on the cell phone. not like a video shot. It was like me just saying, yeah, you can hear the winds now. It's not very good. And here I was thinking, anybody who's got a brain is not doing what I'm doing right now.
You're probably right. Yes.
Anybody who's got a brain is the hell out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not sitting in a trailer with no electricity in the middle of nowhere with floodwaters up 3 feet.
That's scary. You know what I mean? Yeah. I would not do that.
I could have been in Lansing just chilling at the house.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I had to be a company man. Jumped on a plane and headed south. Oh, yeah. That's what we did. It is. Do yourself a favor. You know, Mother Nature is unpredictable, although we are predicting what's going to be happening. Who knows what the end result will be? Again, got a couple of days off, get the hell out of Dodge. What's the big deal?
Please.
If not, then you know, make sure that you listen to what local authorities are saying. They're not going to ask you to evacuate if they don't think there's a good reason for you to evacuate. They really gain nothing out of telling you that. Remember Ray Nagin, when it came to Hurricane Katrina, said, I'm not going to tell people to evacuate. I'll have a million damn people in the street. I mean, what a horrible mayor that dude was. The mayor was the mayor of Chocolate Town, right?
Yes.
Chocolate Town or that. Chocolate City?
I think Chocolate City.
Was it?
I think, yeah.
Yep. Chocolate City Mayor Ray Nagin really showed what an idiot he is. So just heed the warnings. That's for sure. All right. So 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Alex Acosta steps down. When we come back, Carrie will have that story. We'll talk about it. And I don't want to talk about it from the angle of should he or should he not have. It's up to him to make that decision. And I'm sure somebody else in the administration probably said, you know, this is becoming a distraction. But what about my angle that the left can cry foul for 2 seconds and the right always genuflex? The right cry... Northam, is he still the freaking governor of Virginia?
I believe so.
Isn't he the same guy that said, if you have the baby and it's got horrible deformities, just kill it? And isn't he the guy that either was in blackface or wearing a KKK outfit back in college?
Yes.
Isn't that the same guy? He's still got a job.
Yeah.
He still works there. And it's like the Republicans just dropped it. He didn't resign. He didn't step down. His lieutenant governor? I mean, really credible suggestions of sexual assault and sexual impropriety. Still got a job. He's still there, right?
Yes.
So again, I just want to bring this to the people's attention again. If you're on the left and you do something egregious and wrong and horrible, you're cool. Republicans will not press you on it. If you're a Republican and something comes up from 10, 12 years ago that everybody, it's not like he's, you know, sneaked around and said, you know, let's give this guy a deal. Just don't tell anybody. Everybody knew what the deal was. It was reported in the news by the left-wing media. Nobody had a problem with it. Today they have a problem with it, and there you go. He's out of a job. It's very strange to me. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Bruce Spence.
If you want us, just ask for us.
Alexa, play 1200 WOAI on iHeartRadio.
That sounds like a pretty good choice to me.
All right, great to have you. Welcome to the program. Thanks to the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. The entire crew is here. Hopefully you're heading into a fun weekend. I will be back on the weekend with Joe Pags live tomorrow, so make sure that you tune in. There's a lot going on. Acosta is out, and again, it doesn't break my heart that he's out. Nice guy. I think he did a fine job as labor secretary. We see jobs galore. Certainly a better job than, what was her name, Hilda Solis? Was that her name with Obama? I think that was her name.
Okay.
I think that was the labor secretary. And she's the one that said, no matter how you got here, no matter where you're from, no matter whether you're legal or not, you deserve a fair wage. That's a little different than what we have with this labor secretary, who actually was the labor secretary for people who are here legally or citizens and helping to improve the labor atmosphere and climate in this country. I think he did a good job. But too much of a distraction? Okay. But it does beg the question, why is it that Republicans always give in? There's no fight whatsoever. Because the answer could have been, and by the way, to his credit, Trump has done better than other Republicans have. He hasn't capitulated as much. He has some, but a lot of times he doesn't at all. But with this one, I don't get it. This was an accepted deal in the day. If we believe what Nico LaHood said the other day on this program, and I do, then Acosta actually did hit the best job he could to make sure the guy got some time.
Right, because that moment, he was going to walk.
Wasn't going to get any time.
Nothing. Yeah. Not if you believe Acosta. Yeah.
Right. So, you know, you get some time. It's reported widely. They all gave cover to Bill Clinton and the other high-profile celebrities that were flying on these planes, where the logs show these young girls were on the planes with them. And for some reason, Acosta's out. Instead of saying, no, screw you. We're not going to do that. The guy did the best he could, and his explanation makes sense. He's going to go back to work as a labor secretary, but instead he's out. So that does bother me. If you can, give me the entire story of him leaving, would you?
From USA Today, Labor Secretary Alex Acosta resigned amid the fallout over a plea deal he made with wealthy financier Jeffrey Epstein, a sex offender charged with human trafficking girls as young as 14. President Donald Trump announced Acosta's resignation Friday morning with Acosta at his side. Trump said the secretary called him Friday morning to say that the decision to resign was his. I thought the right thing was to step aside, Acosta said. Acosta adding, I do not think it's right and fair for this administration's Labor Department to have Epstein as the focus rather than the incredible economy we have today. In a tweet, Trump said Acosta felt the constant drumbeat of press about the Epstein case and decided it was bad for the administration. A Trump who had defended Acosta after Epstein's arrest last week praised him as a great labor secretary, not a good one, and added Acosta did a very good job. At the White House, said Acosta's deputy, Patrick Pizzella, would become the acting labor secretary. Acosta, formerly a federal prosecutor, had defended his handling of the 2007 case and said he was pleased prosecutors were moving forward against Epstein, who was arrested on July 6th on charges of sex trafficking. Epstein pleaded not guilty in a Manhattan federal court on July 8th, and the indictment alleges he sexually exploited and abused dozens of minor girls at his homes in New York City and Palm Beach, Florida. Acosta gave a press conference on July 10th where he said Epstein would not have gone to jail without the plea deal. The goal here was straightforward, put Epstein behind bars, he said at a news conference. We believe we proceeded appropriately, he said.
There you go. And again, the bigger story becomes, why is it that because it's a Republican administration, he's out a couple of days later? Somebody farted 2 days ago, he's out a couple of days later. The governor and lieutenant governor of Virginia are both still in place after horrific things like kill the baby after it's born if it's got a problem, or, you know, wearing KKK gear and or blackface when in college. None of that matters. That's fine. That's cool. The actual accusers coming forward with credible, like really, it just happened a year or two ago, credible information about how they say they were sexually assaulted or somehow abused by the lieutenant governor. No big deal. We're good. You guys are good. It's very weird to me that the right always seems to give in. It's 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I wonder how you feel about that. It's also Free Speech Friday, so whatever's on your mind is going to be fair game. That's always what happens on Friday on the Joe PAGS Show. By the way, guy carjacks a car, and it's got, I guess, three children in the car. We'll have that full story. And it begs the value question, because the guy, the residents caught up to him and killed him. They beat him to death. Did the guy have what's coming to him? Were the people out of line by doing that? It's one of those questions where you go, I don't know. What would I do? We'll talk about that as well. Let me go to the phone lines and say hello and welcome to David in Texas. David, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, how's it going, Joe?
Living a dream, David. What's happening?
Hey, before I make my comment, I also wanted to ask you a question about one of your previous guests.
Sure.
If that'd be okay later on. But
yes.
First of all, I was going to tell you, at my wedding in 1999, my best man was a deputy constable on Padre Island.
Okay.
Across from Corpus.
Great.
We had a Cat 5 hurricane. It was actually so strong it should have been a Cat 6, but there's no such thing. And after the wedding, he had to leave instead of going to the reception. He had to go back because they were going all over Padre Island. And what they were doing was they were telling people to leave. And they say, if you're not going to leave, give us the name and contact on your next of kin.
Right. Exactly right.
And, you know, that's just it. But I lived through multiple hurricanes down there in Corpus Christi, including Celia. And she was a Cat 5.
Right. Now, anyway, I don't recall the one in 1999, but I wasn't here yet. We moved to the area in 2005, and we've gone to Padre Island a million times. We love it down there. But, I didn't hear about that one, yeah.
Well, that hurricane actually made landfall as a Cat 4 or Cat 3,
right.
But it was almost, they said it was going to make landfall as a Cat 5, but it suddenly dissipated some before it actually made landfall.
Gotcha. What is the question about the guest?
Okay, last week or this week, you talked to the Secretary of the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yes.
And it seemed to me that you were throwing him some major softballs, and
okay.
I tried to call in because I had some specific questions.
What did you want me to ask him? Because I thought we got great information out of that, but what did you want me to ask him?
Well, I can tell you right now, not much has changed. I've been a Audie Murphy and Kerrville VA patient for 25 years.
Okay.
And I haven't hardly seen a thing change from the patient level with the, let's just say, career minions.
Okay.
Because even today, I've had people cussing at me and herding me around like cattle.
Well, David, I'm almost out of time, but that's not okay. Let me give you a quick comment. I had the secretary on, and I'll have him on again. Changes have been made. They fired almost 700 people who weren't doing the job. People were getting appointments that were fake, and they were fudging the books to the point to where 45 people died in Phoenix. Obviously, the VA system is better today. Is it perfect? Absolutely not. Can it be better for you? It should be. Should somebody curse at you? Absolutely not. Do I appreciate your service? Yes, I do. Did I throw softballs at him? Not a chance. I love you like a brother. Have a good day. Open line, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
It's Friday. It's time to pop a top. Coming up at 8 on The Michael Berry Show.
Stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Glad to have you along for the ride. Thanks a lot for stopping by. I want to take a second to talk. I believe his name was David at the end of the hour, and or the end of the half hour. I don't have a lot of time when you're up against the hard breaks. I explained that the top of the hour break is a hard break, bottom of the hour is a hard break. What that means is the machines will take over. Polo, if I keep talking, will people hear me still talking?
No.
Right, so that's it. The network actually takes the show to the break for news at the bottom, news at the top of many stations, commercial breaks, whatever. So I wasn't shortchanging him. I just didn't have any time. I'm not also somebody who generally will carry somebody over a break. So having said that, a word about my interviews with people from the administration. I agree with much of what this president's doing. I voted for him. I wanted him to do what he's doing. I agree with much of what the administration is doing. Do I disagree with some? Yes. And when I've disagreed, I've said so. It's not often. No, I disagreed with Obama a lot because his administration was running the country and had an agenda that I did not like, did not agree with, and I felt was anti what our founding fathers and the Constitution said the country should look like. And I made that very clear at every turn. The VA under Obama, and it got bad under presidents before him as well, it wasn't just Obama, was lying and fudging the books when it came to appointments for veterans. Veterans would be asking for appointments. They'd have to wait months and months and months, and many times they would die waiting for their appointment. When you check the VA's books, the VA would lie in many instances and say they had been seen when they never had been seen. It's a major problem. It was horrible. It was disgusting. And our veterans deserve much better than that. Much better than that. So Trump comes in, says he's going to help. He's going to fix it. Immediately, what we found out was the computer system was antiquated. It was old. It was horrible. It was nasty. And it just didn't work. One VA didn't know that somebody went there, or the other VA didn't know what medication you got from the VA that you're home down and you happen to be on vacation. It was all screwed up. Plus, veterans did not have an opportunity to go anywhere other than the VA. They couldn't go to their private doctor. They couldn't have a card that the secretary was talking about the other day. Trump comes in, immediately fires people all the way down to the janitorial level. Doctors, nurses, PAs, everybody's just, if administrators gone if they weren't getting the job done. Almost 700 people were fired. They're updating, even as we speak, the computer system and the interconnectivity of VA systems and other medical, you know, outlets. You know, if you go to a private doctor, they have to have the ability to contact the VA and get your medical history. So they're working on that. David sounded frustrated. Sam, was it David? I think it was, wasn't it? I don't know. I think it was. And I don't want to disrespect him. I think it was David. He feels frustrated. He feels like nothing's changed. That's simply not true. Now, from his perspective, has nothing changed? Maybe. Sounds like he feels like it. And if somebody curses, Carrie, if somebody curses at a veteran as they're getting health care at the VA, I want that person fired.
Absolutely, yes.
I want the person out.
Yep.
And I've been to Audie Murphy, and it's an awesome VA outlet in the San Antonio area. They do great work there, and we appreciate them. But if somebody's cursing at a veteran, get a job where you're not so stressed out that you're going to be cursing at somebody who served the country. Even if the veteran curses at you and is nasty to you, you don't curse back. You just shut your face and do your job. And then, you know, get somebody involved who can quell the situation and whatever. But to say nothing's changed is not true. Now, when I have people like the secretary on, I don't have them on to throw fastballs high and tight. You don't know what that means, a baseball reference. I don't have them on to yell at them, to scream at them, to nail them to the cross and crucify them to prove some point as a talk show host. Can I do that? I've done that. But that's not why I have them on. I have them on because I wanted a damn update as to what was going on with the VA. I wanted to know some numbers. How many were fired? What's going on with the computer system? What's the update? Can veterans get care outside of the VA? If so, what do they do? How do they contact you? How do they contact? What website do they go to? That, to me, is the kind of information that veterans need to have. They don't need some gripe session with me saying, you know, somebody was profane to David, and they were mean to him, and they didn't treat him right, which is wrong. That shouldn't happen. No, I have him on. This is the freaking secretary of the VA to find out, what are you doing to fix this? What has been done to fix this? What is the president doing to fix it? And with every question I ask him, he says, it's a great question. And here's the answer. And I thought we gave good information. Now, I've gotten a lot of emails from people since then saying, how do I find out about getting the care? That's a great question. You go to this website, whatever. At the end of the day, I want a guy like that. And Carrie, I think this makes sense. I want him to come back.
Of course, yes.
I want him to be on the show again and give me another update. Now, could I have spent 10 minutes yelling at the guy? Yeah, probably. Would he have hung up on me? Yeah, probably. Would I have ever had him on again? Nope. Mm-mm. Not going to have him on again. So we want to keep the line of communication open, because somebody like that is not the kind of guest that I want to have a debate with, like I did with that former New Hampshire, you know, a member of the Senate, where we had this debate about impeaching Trump. That was fun. That was also a cool, fun thing for me to do on my show. But when I have somebody on who has all the information veterans need and want, because he's the director of the damn system, I'm going to ask him questions that hopefully will garner answers that give information to somebody like David that he can now bite into and say, okay, I heard this on the PAG show, and I heard that I can get a card or I can use my private doctor. The VA didn't treat me the way I felt I should be treated. Here's my recourse. That's the information I want to get out there. Hopefully that makes sense. And this isn't me patting myself on the back. It's just a little inside baseball into why I do what I do and how I do what I do when I interview somebody. Hopefully that's understandable. Now, if I've got somebody who wants to come on and argue with me and debate with me, that's also fun. And we can do that. I think I can do it pretty well. But if I'm going to have somebody on who is in a high-level position where millions, literally millions of people who are listening to my show right now have served the country and aren't sure what to do about health care, I think I'm going to handle it the way that I did. I think that makes sense. All right, let me go to the phone lines. And I threw this out there, and I'm getting some reaction on it. Republicans genuflect and capitulate. Democrats don't. They almost never do. Gary, Bill Clinton was caught actually having an affair with an intern in the Oval Office.
Yes.
Still served out his term.
Yes.
Probably would have been reelected to a third term had he been able to run. Certainly was a better choice for the left than Al Gore. I want people to understand, he had relations with the girl, with the woman, in the Oval Office. There was proof of it and proof that he lied about it under oath. Did not resign, did not step down, was not convicted on impeachment. Let that all sink in. Fast forward to Alex Acosta as a prosecutor 10 years ago, a decade ago. He made a decision that he thought was best to get this guy to get some jail time. He's now out 2 days later. That's the power of what I call the legacy media. Those of you who don't think they have the power, that we can just laugh at them, they have the power. Because even with this president that pushes back every time he possibly can, this guy Acosta is still out. I mean, that's crazy. To me, that's crazy. Let me go to the phone lines. Let me say hello and welcome to Charles in San Antonio. Charles, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, Joe. Happy Friday.
Thanks, man.
Always enjoy listening to you.
Thank you.
Two simple reasons why they do that. First of all is the pressure mounted by the legacy media is just unbearable, and it's always one-sided. And the second reason is Republicans have shame. Democrats don't.
Well, that's true. I mean, Republicans certainly have shame. Conservatives have shame. Conservatives feel guilty when they do something wrong or that's questionable. I gotta be honest, I'm not so sure that Acosta did anything wrong here, but he also has dignity. Maybe we could throw that out there. Republicans have dignity, whereas he said, I'm going to be dignified. I'm going to step away because this is a distraction, and this president is doing a very good job. That probably is also part of the equation.
Yeah, he fell on his sword so that his department's agenda wouldn't be compromised.
All right, I got you. I hear you, and I appreciate it. Open line now, 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. Going to be Teresa before I hit a break. Teresa, what's going on?
Hi, Joe.
Hey.
I live and work here in San Antonio, and the job I'm at, we employ a lot of people, and we have a big concern about the sick leave ordinance that just got passed. It's the same ordinance that got shot down in Austin, but San Antonio took it over and passed it.
Fill me in on the details quickly. I don't really know the details of it. I haven't paid attention. I can't stand our city council, and I think they should all be launched out of office. So fill me in.
Basically, they passed a citywide ordinance. So if you have a company in San Antonio and or workers that are working in San Antonio, you have to offer them sick pay up to 64 hours per year. Every employee, it doesn't matter whether they're seasonal, doesn't matter whether they're temp, part-time, it doesn't matter. If they're a paid employee, they start accruing the first day of August. And they can accrue up to 64 hours a year, which is basically 8 days a year. And the city has forced this on businesses in San Antonio. This is also has happened in Dallas. It's going on right now in Dallas. And Austin got shut down, but I think they're trying to still push that through. And it takes effect August 1st. We went to a meeting regarding this, a bunch of business owners did, and basically they have no answers. We're trying to figure out how do we mandate this, how do we track this, how do we do this, how do we do that, what can we do, what can't we do. They don't have any answers. They're just pushing it up on us. And so as business owners, what we did was we looked at the whole big picture. What's this going to cost us now? Because we don't have a choice. We have to do it. It's a city ordinance pushed on.
Well, you actually don't. And I've quickly, as you were talking, I've quickly, you know, perused through some of the information on it. You really don't have to. And I'll tell you what's going to happen. I don't have five employees, so it doesn't affect me. The employees I have are employed elsewhere and otherwise in other companies. But having said that, people who do have five employees or more are going to start making them 1099 employees. They're not going to W-2 them anymore. They're not going to offer them any sort of overtime. They're not going to offer them any taxes taken out. They're going to make them all pay their own taxes at the end of the year. The city of San Antonio, as usual, with any far left-leaning liberal progressive city trying to take control of local business, is going to hurt local business. They're going to make local business lay people off, going to make them start 1099-ing people, going to make them stop paying taxes, stop offering health care. This will be the end effect. When you overregulate and you overcontrol business, you shut business down. And I think that's what you're saying. I'm not so sure it's going to be enacted. It looks like they think it's going to. It's scheduled to take effect on August 1st, but I think there are challenges to it right now, and we'll see if this ends up going into effect. But what I'll do is, and now that I've updated myself on it a little bit, I'll get a hold of the Attorney General's office and ask if this is even legal.
Well, good luck with that, because I called Greg Abbott's office today, And they said basically he has not made any statements on it.
Yeah.
And which kind of upset me a little bit. You know, I'm like, hey, this is, you know, one of your bigger cities. And, you know, we're looking for companies to come to San Antonio.
Well, Greg Abbott used to be the AG. Of course, he's our governor now. I'll get a hold of Paxton. And I'm not being surly, but I can probably get through to somebody with Abbott quicker. So I'll get a hold of them and I'll find out, Teresa, what I can find out. I appreciate you calling in. Open line now. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Yeah, this is a system of a far left-wing progressive government. No matter which city you're in the United States, if your government is doing the same thing they're trying to do in San Antonio, you must launch them out of office. You must go and register to vote. You must get rid of them. This is a ridiculous abuse of power by central government, and they need to get out of our business. They're going to, just like Obamacare killed employment, unemployment rose, people off the employment rolls completely, out of the workforce, through the roof, because employers could not afford the overwhelming burden of giving health insurance to everybody. This is going to change the way people do business in San Antonio. This needs to be gone. And again, those people who are sitting in that chamber need to be launched. They are horrible at their jobs, but they're doing exactly what they want to do. That's what a progressive, look, the agenda of a progressive is to take over, control everything, and force you to do it their way. No freedom, no liberty. You do it my way or the highway. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
I want to be informed.
I need to know what's happening.
To know what's going on.
Check in.
It changes every day.
Every day. News Radio 1200 WOAI.
To have you welcome. It's the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. So glad to have you along for the ride across the land. It's got the new numbers, 128 stations now, Carrie.
It's awesome.
128. We're not messing around.
Nice.
We're not playing around, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Nope. No way.
Not over here. Hey. You're just playing around. No, we're not. We're not. We're taking names.
Love it.
From what I understand, 124 of them are simply because of your voice.
Oh, wasn't that nice? Another four.
Really? 124 is enough?
No, really? I must have them all.
Really? Wow. So 99.2% isn't enough?
Kidding.
Whatever.
Kidding.
It is 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Grilled again last night. It's what we do in the summertime. You get out there, you barbecue, you light up the grill, you get it going, had some great burgers last night. You're going to love them, from Butcher Box, grass-fed beef to free-range organic chicken, wild-caught sockeye salmon. Butcher Box has over 20 different cuts of meat with customizable boxes and a variety of other options to choose from. They work closely with the best farms to ensure not only an ethical process, but one that results in a better quality, better tasting, nutrient-dense meat with no added hormones or antibiotics ever. Let me make this suggestion, do what I did, cheese and jalapenos on that burger. I'm just going to put it right out there. Butcher Box is delivered right to your door, free shipping. A month's worth of the meat from Butcher Box comes out to about $6 a meal. Butcher Box is making sure you've got burgers the entire summer. Sign up today, butcherbox.com/pags, for $20 off your first box plus 6 free burgers in every box until October 15th. That's butcherbox.com/pags for $20 off your first box plus free burgers in every box until October 15th. Butcherbox.com/pags. Do it right now. All right, let me go back to the phone lines. I appreciate you taking the time on a Free Speech Friday. Carrie, this is what I do. I've already reached out to the AG on that story.
Oh, very nice. Okay, good.
He's ignored me so far, upset. But I've reached right out.
A lot of people are upset about that. Yeah.
Well, I mean, for good reason. Am I outlining it right? If you've got five employees, then you are forced to offer them sick pay.
Right. I think it's, if you have six or more, it starts August 1st. If you have five or more, I think you have another year or so. But eventually you will have to, yes.
Yeah. It says August 1st this year for employers with more than five. So you're right, six or more. And then 2021, so in two years, with five or fewer. So even if you have one employee and your business relies on that employee, you got to give them 80 hours of sick pay.
Mm-hmm.
Just take off. Have a good day. And again, you know, many of us already, I have sick pay, but I never use it. You have sick pay. You know, you use it sometimes when you weren't feeling well or if your child wasn't feeling well. I get it.
Right, yeah.
But to force a small business that's barely scraping by, just starting out,
yeah,
it doesn't make any sense because you know, we don't do it, but some people will take advantage of sick pay and just take a day off. And a business that will now lose money because it's got two employees will still have to pay the full salary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, you're putting a burden on small business to the point where they're going to tend to, like I said, and listen, look, if you're a business in San Antonio, this is not to hurt employees, but if because the idiots voted these people back in, and if you voted for the current city council, as much as you may like me or my show, I think you're an idiot. Carrie, is that too harsh?
I guess not. It's your show.
Okay, let me take it back. I take it back. That's kind of, it's just sort of ad hominem and negative. Let me be specific.
Mm-hmm.
If you voted for the current city council and the current mayor, that was an idiotic move. And you have no excuse. There's nothing you can say to me that will make sense as to why people in Portland keep getting reelected, people in San Antonio keep getting reelected, people in San Francisco keep getting reelected. Keep it here. We're coming back. More to come.
Don't. MCO.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
All right, great radio stations across the land. JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that more right there. Also, Parlay. That's the app, the newer app. People can say, what's that new social media? Parler.com and search Joe Pags, all one word, JoePags. Also, Newsmax TV on a Friday. Strings me. Horns, please. Yes, indeed. That's Carrie Lockie. Hey, Carrie.
Hello.
Second, right on cue. Mm-hmm. What? Why are you taking a face? No. What day is it anyway? Where is Bob Guthrie? Let's go.
Friday.
Uh-huh.
Thank God it is Friday.
Indeedy-do.
Friday.
You betcha. Thank God it's
Friday. Thank God it is Friday.
Let's make it happen. Open those lines up for a free speech Friday.
Freedom.
PAGS, JoePags.com. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, it's all right there, as I said. Love to hear from you on any format. Do me a favor, I tend to, now people ask this all the time. It's like I had a guy, Gary, I'm on some mass mailing list, and I hate that. I always ask them, please take me off your list.
Yeah, I do too.
Now, it sounds hypocritical that I'm saying take me off your list as I'm saying get on my list. Well, if you choose to get my email every day, my newsletter every day, which you can do, JoePags.com, scroll down, put your email address in, you're actually saying I'd like to get your content. Now, these are lists that people just sign you up for that nobody asked for.
Yeah, I want a lot of those.
I'm not okay with that. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a pain in the ass, isn't it?
It is, yes.
So I've asked that they take me off the list. Now, here's what people are doing. The guy sent me the email, then he posted it on my Facebook page, and then he tweeted me the link. Let me simplify, because there's all this social media, and this is why Lockie barely does any. Unless it's Wine Friday, which is going to happen later tonight.
Friday, yeah.
There will
counting
be a,
down, two hours.
Be a shot of her boots and a glass of wine on a table somewhere yep. at about 10:30 tonight.
Yep, just wait.
And I've actually got my feed set to give me a notification when there's a wine picture posted. So it's very simple. Go to Twitter, at Joe Talk Show, at JoeTalkShow. During the show, I will live tweet. I live tweet because it's very simple. Boom, I get a notification. There you go. If you don't follow me and you're tweeting to me, I can't see it. Like the other day, Dai, who calls me Italian Stallion.
Mm-hmm.
She calls in all the time.
Yeah.
Great lady from Minnesota, I believe. I think she's in Minnesota. And she wrote me like an email. Why did you unfollow me on Twitter? I didn't. Dai, I see your tweets because you follow me. I generally follow newsmakers, people who are verified, because that adds content to the show that I can think about and maybe present later. If I followed everybody who follows me, there would be so much stuff in the news feed that I wouldn't really have the ability to grab. Okay, I think Dai and other listeners would like this story. So that's sort of how I look at it. Like Hannity used to follow 6,000 people, and I was one of them. Suddenly one day he wasn't following me anymore. And I'm going, well, why doesn't Sean Hannity follow me? Because, you know, we're tight. We're good.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got his cell phone. We hung out.
Okay. Okay.
At the Talkers That's Conference awesome. Recently, he mentioned one talk show host in his little conversation. Guess who it was?
Oh,
Sam, who was it? Were you there? I forget. Sam again ignoring me or is talking and I just can't hear her, which is odd. I'll bet she's screening calls. I can always tell what Sam's doing when I take a look over here. No, I'm not screening anything. No, Sam's just ignoring me. She's probably making dinner. Anyway, so yeah, Sean mentioned me during his little talk at Talkers. Mm-hmm. So he unfollowed me. And I'm like, what the hell's going on? So I looked at his page. He follows three people now.
Oh, three. Wow. Who are the three? Man.
Well, you got President Trump.
Oh, of course.
You got Dan Bongino, damn it, who's also a friend of mine. And I forget the other two. He added two more. I don't know. I don't open in front of me. Hmm. But so, but again, that makes sense because there's so much stuff going into the news feed. Then as you're preparing the show, the stuff that might jump out from people you know are verified news sources or newsmakers might get lost in the fray. That's why I do it that way. But trust me when I say, if you follow me, I will see your notification to me when you tweet to me. A lot of lefties will tweet to me, Carrie, and they just don't read the profile, which says, if you don't follow me, I can't see your notification. Yeah, I can't see your tweet.
Yeah.
They just aren't smart enough to do it. Isn't that the funniest thing?
Yeah.
And I envision these people tweeting to me the nastiest thing they possibly can. The fact that I don't respond, they think that they hurt me or got me or something. I don't see your crap if you don't follow me.
That's a good thing, yeah.
So again, at Joe Talk Show, make that happen. The ICE raids. We've got a question about Acosta today, by the way. And Acosta, of course, as we all know now, resigned. He stepped down. That's it. I don't want to be a distraction. We always say that I don't want to be a distraction crap. Well, we've got a poll for you. And let me make sure that I've got the right one. Labor Secretary Alex Acosta announced he's resigning earlier today. He said he's leaving because he didn't want the fallout of how he handled the Jeffrey Epstein case more than 10 years ago to be a distraction to the Trump administration. So we're doing a text poll again. Go right now and text the word poll, P-O-L-L, to 95577. Here's the question. Should Alex Acosta have resigned? Was it the right move? Yes or no? We'll have the results at the end of the show. I promise you that. Okay. So why is it that the president is announcing that the ICE raids are going to happen now? Carrie, have you thought about that? Why do you think he's doing
it? I haven't really thought about it. I don't know.
Because one would imagine that there are raids all the time. That right. There are court orders that are violated and warrants that are being served and people are arrested all the time. Why are we hearing about this every single day? Hmm. Now, I'll give you a couple options and you tell me which one you think is the right one.
Okay.
The Democrats heard he was going to do it and they leaked it to the media. And that's why it's being reported, so they somehow can make
Trump Hitler. Now, I have heard that report. Yeah, I've heard that.
Or do you think Trump's doing it on purpose because his strategy is, if I tell people I'm doing it, it will force the Democrats to come to the table and fix what's going on in the world?
Ooh, maybe that one. I like that second
right?
one sounds good.
Interesting,
yeah.
right?
Which, these were supposed to happen last month. And he delayed it. Was it last month or maybe the month before? He delayed it so Congress could come to the table and let's try
month.
To find a solution.
Yeah,
and
it was supposed to start one day. Like
happen.
The day before, I think he said, okay, we're going to sit down and talk about it. And it looks like they're going to come to the table. As a master negotiator, it appears to me that he's trying to get them to negotiate. Mm. Now, I think one thing that he is not taking to the top level is that these leftists just want to win. They don't want him to win. They're saying no to border security because that would give him a win. They're saying no to the wall. That would give him a win. Now, here's a quandary. Now, Carrie, tell me if I'm misreporting this. The left doesn't like how overcrowded the detention facilities are.
Right.
But the left is angry that they're trying to fund more detention facilities.
Yes, that is true.
So what I just said, is that correct? That the Democrats are horrified by the overcrowding, like 600 children in a facility built to hold 150.
Mm-hmm.
But when the money is approved to build more facilities, they're against more facilities being built.
Right. Or they don't vote for those bills because it has funding for ICE.
Have they offered a solution? As a news person, as my news anchor and my friend, have you seen any suggestion, any proposal by the left, other than open the borders and let them all free, that makes any sense that would actually solve the problem?
I have not.
What are we talking about here? What exactly are we talking about here? No, we don't want these people all crammed into the facilities. All right, let's build some more. No, we don't want to build any more. All right, let's get more caregivers and let's help out HHS, Health and Human Services, which really are the ones that are on the hook here, although ICE, for some reason, and Border Patrol are the ones that are administering to the kids and to the families. No, we can't give more funding to HHS. Then what on earth do you want us to do? Can we drop them off at Nancy Pelosi's house? Well, of course not. What do you want to do? If you ask Julian Castro, who, by the way, did you see that Julian Castro, the former mayor of San Antonio, who back then was actually an okay dude, now he's just a wild, crazy leftist? You see the other day that he was asked why he doesn't speak Spanish, and he said something about our founding and our white society or some crap? What did he say?
Let me look, because I want to make sure I get it right.
Yeah, get it right, because he's actually blaming, I think, white privilege or something. For why he doesn't speak Spanish. Because I know a lot of people in San Antonio who are completely and utterly fluent in both Spanish and English. And I think it's great. I actually love the Spanish language. I mean, I'm here to tell you, he doesn't speak Spanish because he didn't learn Spanish. That's why. Because if what he says is true, then nobody in our city would speak the language. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the quote?
I
have to have the quote. Okay. I have to know what this dork said.
So he was talking to MSNBC's Casey Hunt. When Hunt asked him to explain why someone who has a Latinx heritage might not speak Spanish, Castro, who is Mexican-American, talked about his own history. Quote, I guess the best place to start is to say there are Latinos who have lived here for generations, he said. My grandmother that I grew up with got here almost 100 years ago in 1922. In my grandparents' time, in my mom's time, Spanish was looked down upon. You were punished in school if you spoke Spanish. You were not allowed to speak it. People, I think, internalize this oppression about it and basically wanted their kids to first be able to speak English.
Of course.
And I think that in my family, like a lot of other families, that the residue of that, the impact of that, is that there are many folks whose Spanish is not that great.
I mean, he's just lying. Carrie, how long have you been in San Antonio?
21 years.
Has anybody that you've ever talked to who speaks Spanish and English ever said, I wasn't allowed to speak Spanish in school. It was looked down upon. For God's sakes, we've got English as a second language class in every school in the area. Which is basically teachers teaching kids in Spanish. I mean, am I overstating it? I just think the guy's lying.
I don't know. I think Polo has something to say about it, though.
Polo, do you know a lot of people in this state and in our area that speak Spanish?
Yes, but I also know a lot that were discouraged to do so when they were growing up.
Well, no, my father was not taught Italian by his parents, who both spoke fluent Italian, because they wanted him to succeed in the country. He's got a few brothers and sisters, though, who not only were allowed to learn, they learned it in school. And I'm talking about the 1940s and 50s. So Julian Castro, who's younger than my father, he's younger than I am, I would believe, was not told as he was growing up, don't speak Spanish. Unless his grandmother and mother were smart and they said, make sure you focus on English. That's the way you're going to be successful in this country. My question isn't whether English is preferred, because it is. It is, and it should be, because that's how you succeed in this country. Our language is English. The question is, do you think he's telling the truth that he grew up in a household of Spanish speakers and they told him don't speak Spanish, and therefore, even growing up in San Antonio, he never studied it in school, he never learned it in school? For God's sakes, I know a Polish young lady who was a reporter for me, Kelly Jelinski, in Lansing, Michigan, who was a Spanish expert and was reading Spanish literature from the 1500s. As a Polish girl growing up in Michigan, she wasn't told don't speak Spanish. There's no way a kid in San Antonio was told don't speak Spanish ever. I don't believe him. Now, I'll shut up and let you answer to that. But my question isn't whether a preferred language is English, because it should be. It is. But the question is, do you or do you not know a ton of people in this area that speak Spanish and have never, ever looked at you and said, oh, because it's a white society, I was told I shouldn't?
That speak Spanish?
Yes.
You mean that are Hispanic but don't speak Spanish?
No. I mean people in this area who all speak Spanish somehow learned it, even though they were told you shouldn't. Because I would say 50% of San Antonio speak Spanish on some level, most of them fluently. And I've never heard anybody tell me that they were told don't speak Spanish in San Antonio. I think Julian Castro's lying. Well, I don't know if Joaquin, his twin brother, speaks Spanish or not. Do you know, Carrie?
I don't know that.
I would love to know the answer to that, because if Joaquin's fluent and Julian isn't, Julian's a big fat liar. You know what I'm saying? Robert Francis freaking O'Rourke speaks Spanish better than Julian Castro. I mean, figure that out. Napolo, I get where you're coming from, that yes, people have said, learn the language, learn English, speak English fluently, stop speaking Spanish and everything that you do. That's the right thing to say in America. If I lived in Mexico, they should be telling me speak Spanish. But there's no way that I believe this guy was told, growing up in San Antonio, Texas, you shouldn't learn how to speak Spanish, which is basically what he's saying.
Well, the thing is that I do know some people that their families told them that, because they, when they were growing up, they didn't speak English very well, so they didn't want their kids to go through the same things that they did, so they pushed for them to be English-speaking first. And make it their primary language.
You and I agree.
And
you're actually agreeing with me.
But to the point where they really weren't speaking much Spanish, and now their Spanish is limited because of it. I mean, even my Spanish is limited probably because of it, too.
Well, your Spanish is limited because they probably weren't speaking Spanish to you growing up, and that's okay. That's, again, to be successful in this country. I think that you think we disagree, but we don't. Let me say it again. English should be the primary language. Julian Castro speaks English very, very well. The fact that he doesn't speak Spanish, blaming it on white society or English society or looking down on it, is a lie. Because at least 50%, I'm going to gander 50%, it might be much higher, of San Antonio speaks a good conversational Spanish, if not fully fluent Spanish. That's a fact. There's no, so for him to say he didn't have the opportunity, basically saying because of white society and English-speaking society didn't have the opportunity to learn it, he's lying. Because everybody else who grew up in this area had the opportunity to learn it, and many of them did. So I'm saying his case is moot. He's lying. What you're saying is true, and what you're actually agreeing with me. I believe that English should be the primary language because you're in an English-speaking country. That's how you succeed the best. At the end of the day, you have every opportunity to learn Spanish, German, Italian. You can learn any language you freaking want. And in San Antonio, most people, I'd say 50% plus, speak Spanish at least conversationally, if not fully fluently, as if they're from Mexico or Spain. The idea that he's claiming he doesn't speak it and that's why was just his attempt to be a victim. I'm a victim of white society. I'm a victim of English-speaking society. Donald Trump somehow probably got a hold of my mother when I was growing up and made her not teach me Spanish. That's what I'm getting from it. Does that make sense now?
I mean,
it does. You don't agree, and you're not going to. That's cool. Let's just drop it. 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247. I'm not denigrating your point. I understand your point. You don't think I do. And I think that it's going to become boring if I keep on going with it. The fact is this. He doesn't speak Spanish well because he didn't apply himself and he didn't learn. You don't speak Spanish as well as you could because you didn't take it in school. You probably could have if you wanted and been a Spanish major in college if you wanted to. You didn't choose to. You liked English and it worked for you. And that's okay. What I'm saying is it's not negative that he doesn't speak a lot of Spanish. He's trying to give an excuse for it, one that I reject. That's all. And you might accept the excuse. And you and I can disagree on that. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
And you're welcome to the Joe Pags Show. Bob just wrote me an email. Do I have a studio audience? If so, can I come and sit in the studio audience? No. No, I don't, Bob. Appreciate you, though. Do not have a studio audience. I'm going to have an author coming up in just a couple of minutes here. And he's written a book about the media and how it's out to get Trump and how the media is, in fact, the enemy of the people. It's called Enemies, the Press versus the American People. And his name is Peter DeBrasca. And I want you to stay here and listen to this because he's got some great examples of exactly how bad the media is. Just to put a bow on it, I completely understand where Polo's coming from. And I completely understand where Julian Castro's coming from. Polo and Julian Castro disagree. Julian Castro is blaming white English-speaking society for why he's a victim as it doesn't speak Spanish. My point's very simple. Yes, of course, parents should push their kids to learn the native tongue and then maybe a secondary language. My point is this. There are so many people in San Antonio specifically, throughout Texas, in New Mexico, in Arizona, in California, and across the nation now who speak fluent Spanish. The idea that, what is he, 40-something years old? How old is this guy?
I think he's in his early 40s, I think.
So the idea that some guy in his early 40s was not allowed to learn how to speak Spanish, and that's why he doesn't speak Spanish, is simply not true. He didn't show enough interest to learn how to be fluent in Spanish. Maybe he didn't think he had to be fluent in Spanish. And guess what? To be successful in the United States of America, you don't have to be. You don't. Period. End of story. Have a nice day. All right, we come back. We'll have that author. And you're going to want to hear about this book, and you're going to want to go out and get this book. It's going to be a good read that exposes the media for who they are. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pags.
Life better. It's Friday. It's time to pop a top. Coming up at 8 on The Michael Berry Show.
Stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email. It's all right there. Also Newsmax TV. It's the Joe Pags Show. Glad to have you here. Really glad to have author Peter DeBrasca on. He's written a great book. It's called Enemies, the Press versus the American People. Peter, how are you?
I'm doing well, Joe. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, really, really good to have you on. You know, we've had this discussion about the media versus this president for a long time, but it really is the left wing. I call them the legacy media. Many people call them the mainstream media. And the president has said over and over, fake news is the enemy of the people. And the media freaks out like, oh, my God, how dare you question my integrity? Well, from what I understand, and I haven't seen the book yet, but from what I understand, you've taken a bunch of examples that prove that they are exactly who the president says they are, and you put them in your book. Am I getting the whole thesis, the hypothesis of the book is the media sucks, I'm going to prove it?
That's right. So it's pretty straightforward. I do, you know, in the course of my daily work as a reporter, I cover the mainstream media beat a lot. And so I had so many examples of how terrible the corporate press was that I decided that I would compile all that information into a book.
Right.
So yeah, as you can imagine, I mean, it's example after example after example of just mainstream press duplicity and how they behave in a way that's, you know, not that doesn't comport to, you know, what the average ordinary American believes.
Right. You could actually probably do an entire book on Jim Acosta, couldn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And actually, it's interesting that you mentioned Jim, because his book, which is, I haven't read his book, but I can only imagine how sort of self-congratulatory it is.
Right.
His book just came out a few weeks ago. It's called Enemy of the People, A Dangerous Time to Be a Reporter in America, or something like that. And this, I think my book is going to be an interesting answer to his.
Yeah.
So his book is all about how the press is not the enemy. Mine is about how the press is, in fact, the enemy. And I think I have more evidence.
No, and I look forward to seeing it. Peter DeBrosca. It's DeBrosca. Is it DeBrosca on Twitter, or is your first name in there too?
It's just P DeBrosca. So P like Peter DeBrosca.
Okay, again, DeBrosca. Go and follow him on Twitter. Get this book, Enemies, The Press of the American People. It's always jumped out at me about Acosta. And I you don't know me much, but I was a journalist for many, many years, a television news anchor. I won a bunch of awards and stuff. I know how to do the job. About Acosta, he seems to think the job is about him. When I was a journalist, I never, ever did a story on me, ever. And I was never a character in the story or a part of the story. Or when I asked the question, he was forced to answer. I wasn't even that guy. But Acosta seems to think that it's his job to stand up on the world stage and say, Mr. President, will what you're about to say pass a fact check? Who asks that question? So, and another, I'm focusing on him because he's the most egregious in my mind. But that's really what it is, right, Peter? These reporters think they're the story.
Yeah, that's right. And so it used to be a rule, and you're exactly right. It used to be a rule that reporters did not want to make themselves the story.
Yeah.
But it seems that rule has flown out the window in sort of this craze to get Donald Trump, right? Like they view their job as an opportunity to protect the sort of limousine liberals and the coastal elitists and the established order that we have. And they view Donald Trump, and not only Donald Trump, but Donald Trump's supporters by extension as their enemy, because he came in and he's been talking about the average ordinary American and trying to represent them for the past 2.5 years. So in their haste to discredit everything Donald Trump does, they've made a ton of mistakes, and consequently, they've become the story themselves.
And the president's his sin was that he won. That's the real problem, right? I mean, he didn't really do anything. I mean, he started going after the media after they went after him, but they still are beside themselves because of the result of 2016, no?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, the crime is that Trump won, not that a Republican won, right? If Jeb Bush or, you know, Carly Fiorina, say, or any of those establishment Republicans had won,
right,
you would have seen a little bit of press backlash, right? Maybe like you saw during the Bush days, but it wouldn't have been nearly this intense. Really, the crime is that Trump, being an outsider, a political outsider, won, right, not just that he's a Republican.
Now, I haven't seen the book yet, and I can't wait to get it. I want everybody to go and get it. Enemies, The Press versus the American People. The author is Peter DeBrosca. But I'm going to throw out a couple of examples that I know, and you tell me if they're in the book or not. And maybe you can give me a couple of other examples if you'd like. But after Steve Scalise was shot, the media reporter, I think CNN, posted that the Democrats all prayed around second base, when in fact it was the Democrats and the Republicans all on their knees praying around second base. Oops, we forgot to mention the Republicans. I believe it was Acosta who said that President Trump and First Lady Melania Trump went to the hospital but did not visit Steve Scalise, which of course was untrue. They walked into the room and spent time with him. I mean, it's story after story after story. Give me some egregious ones that we can read more about in the book.
Sure. So I didn't write about the Steve Scalise incident, but that is a perfect, you know, classic example, right? Donald Trump goes and does something great after Steve Scalise is shot by a rabid leftist, by the way.
Yeah, right.
And the press still finds a way to knock him for that, right? One of the big focuses, though, in the book is fact checkers. This is a big point for me, right?
Yeah.
So we have sort of the established media order, and then we have the established media fact checkers like Snopes and like PolitiFact and like
right,
these organizations. AP now does this, where they say, You know, they're the arbiters of truth, right? This is what is true and this is what is false. And sometimes they wind themselves up in crazy webs just to try and prove the established Democratic Party narrative correct. And it's so transparent. It's so obvious that I wrote a whole chapter on that. And then, you know, another thing that I like to talk a lot about is the media fomenting violence. And I think that this is particularly relevant today.
Right.
You know, you had Chris Cuomo and Don Lemon both go on CNN in prime time and defend Antifa violence on two separate occasions. I think Cuomo said that not all punches are morally equal, right? So if you punch a Nazi,
right,
that's better than a Nazi punching you, right? And Don Lemon said something similar. And what you see now is journalists like Andy Ngo in Portland getting attacked and beaten in the streets by Portland, by Portland Antifa. All brought to you by, advertised by, supported by the mainstream press. I mean,
And by the way, that story, as you know, was hardly covered by the mainstream press. That story was a blurb. It was a quick mention. Had that been somebody in the left press, like Acosta gets punched, and I don't want that to happen, but let's say that happens, this would be the biggest story for about a month. And when the guy, I think he said go, I think he pronounces it no, but the guy Andy No is out there, he's gay. First of all, nobody mentions that in the mainstream media. He goes and he's just covering, as a conservative guy, he's covering Antifa and whatever this get-together is, and he gets hit in the face with like contact cement. And that's okay. That's no big deal because I guess in Cuomo's world, that's like punching a Nazi. But I want to go back to the fact checkers, though, because I think you make an incredible point. And again, it's Peter DeBrosca. Go and get his book. It's called Enemies, the Press versus the American People. It's out when? In 6 days, right? No, in 4 days, on the 16th of July.
Right.
So go and get this. I think you could probably pre-order it now, Peter. Yes?
That's correct. Yep.
Okay. Hopefully people will go and do that. But the fact-checking system that's put in place is a mechanism of the progressive left of this country. That's what it is. You say it, Jim. We'll back you up and we'll make up all the crap we have to make up to show that you're right. And the real problem is people think they're separate entities. I mean, one of the biggest fact-checkers is the Washington Post. How does the Washington Post fact check when the Washington Post just had to apologize to James O'Keefe for lying and misquoting him in some of these reports that he did, some of these undercover investigations he did in Project Veritas, exposing the social media outlets. So what do you tell people who are watching and listening when they want a real fact checker? What do they do? Because if you go to Google, the first 10 answers are going to be leftist. And then if you get to page two or page three, you might see some real facts. What do you do?
So my advice to people when searching for news is to go read partisan news, right?
Yeah.
In my view, the problem with cable news, like outlets like CNN and MSNBC, is not that they are partisan. It's not that they are left wing. It's that they pretend to be unbiased, right? So I would much prefer that everybody reads news and understands the bias of the news organization that they're reading, and that those news organizations wear their biases on their sleeves. That's what we do in conservative media, right?
Yes.
We say, look, you know, we work for conservative news websites. We're going to give you the news from a conservative angle. If you don't like that, you don't have to read it. Honestly, I wish CNN would come out with an apology one night in primetime, have Anderson Cooper get up there and say, hey, look, you know, we've been lying to you for a lot of years, pretending that we're unbiased. As it turns out, we're all leftists. At least then I could have a little bit of respectability for Anderson Cooper and say, okay, you know, he's finally not trying to, you know, pull the wool over my eyes, right?
Right.
But I would say find news that is openly partisan and you will be okay. As long as you understand the bias, I think that's better than being lied to implicitly every time you turn on cable.
Well, I agree with you. It is Enemies, the Press versus the American People. Peter DeBrosca is the author at P-D-A-B-R-O-S-E-A on Twitter. Go and follow him right now. You bring up a good point. Rachel Maddow, as much as I disagree with her, I know where she's coming from. I know that she's a leftist. I know that she's progressive. I know this is her vision of the country is different than my vision of the country. And I can appreciate and respect the fact that she's putting that out on her sleeve. Anderson Cooper pretends to be a news guy. Acosta actually was on, I think, with Don Lemon or being interviewed by somebody on his own network. And they were talking about how they don't hate Trump and they're not biased against Trump. They're just telling the truth. And that's therein lies the problem. Because for many, many years, when you watch Bernie Shaw and you heard him crawling around in Iraq as a war was breaking out around him, you could trust that he was a news guy and he was going to tell you what he was actually experiencing. You're not getting that from CNN now. So all their bona fides or bona fides, however you want to pronounce it, are out the window. I mean, that's what we're talking about, right?
Yeah, absolutely. There is no basis on which they could possibly claim to be unbiased at this point. I mean, it's just, if you watch cable news on a daily basis, you will have a completely opposite worldview of somebody who, say, doesn't watch cable news and gets their news from Drudge Report, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
it's like
you'd be living in an alternate reality. You wouldn't recognize the other side if you don't do it for a living, which I believe is why, you know, there's such a big partisan division in this country now. It's people who watch cable news are literally living in an alternate reality where Donald Trump is a Nazi and he's got people in, you know, detention camps.
Right.
And, you know, the rise of fascism is coming to America, and the show Handmaid's Tale is becoming a reality. Right. And none of that obviously is true, but you wouldn't know that if all you watched was CNN.
That's a great point.
That's part of the problem.
In the lead up that I got to the book and last question, because I don't want to leave this out, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention this. It says that it's hilarious and it's a very funny look. So you take us on the road and you give us fact about how they've gotten it wrong. And then what do you do? Make fun of them? I mean, what's the funny angle? Help me out here.
So, a lot of it is centered around poking fun at these people, right? Because I believe one of the most effective tools against them is to make fun of them. They hate that. They really take offense to that. And so, you know, one of the ways that I kind of make my points about the media is by showing them contempt. And I believe that, you know, ordinary Americans do that currently and should continue to do that. It's one of the best ways to fight back against them. It makes them insecure about themselves. So, you know, there's one second I can give you a brief example. You know, when Don Lemon was talking about how Antifa is not a fascist organization because its name is Antifa, I'm sitting there going, wait a second, that's your logic? Like, how are you going to explain to people that raspberries aren't actually berries? You know,
exactly like, if you call them anti-raspberry, exactly right.
Yeah. Well, like, what if I get, you know, tennis elbow from playing racquetball? Does that mean that I don't have tennis elbow? You know, these are the kind of things that I point out in the book. Right. And it's kind of, you know, I like to poke fun at them.
They're so surly and they're so arrogant and they're so confident that they're right and everybody else is wrong, or their worldview is right. It really doesn't matter how they're reported as long as they get their end result. I love that you're taking them down in this book. It's called Enemies, the Press versus the American People. His name is Peter Dabroska. It's P-D-A-B-R-O-S-C-A over on Twitter. Go follow him and get this book. Peter, thanks a million. I appreciate you.
Thanks, Joe, for having me. Thank you.
All right. We're back after this in the Joe Pag Show. Stay right here.
This is the Joe Pag Show.
All for details.
News Radio 1200, WOAI.
Well, it sounds like a heck of a book. We appreciate Peter Dabroska coming on, talking about his new book. Go and follow him on the Twitters. Go and pre-order it. It comes out on the 16th, so 4 days from now. It sounds like another one of those reads that's going to make people like Jim Acosta have an aneurysm. And they just need to realize that we're hip to them now. We get it. We understand. We understand the hatred, the disdain. And I guess the real capper for me, the real cherry on top of the cake for me, was Acosta sitting there. Was he being interviewed by Don Lemon? Do you remember that when he was sitting there? Was it maybe Cuomo was interviewing him?
I think it was Cuomo.
Yeah.
I think.
So Cuomo's sitting there and he's questioning Jim Acosta about whether he hates Trump or there's a bias against Trump, and the answer is no. And we're just supposed to believe it. And I guess what bothers me is that a lot of people watching that probably believed it.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Paul, I got a message from a guy who said, the only thing that you're not understanding what I'm saying is that your family made the decision to focus on English in your house, whereas Castro's trying to pretend like the governmental system or our fundamental system in his country is why he didn't. So I can see that difference. And again, you don't have to agree with me.
No, I agree with you on that.
Don't you dare pretend to agree with me now. No, I mean, that's the point. He's trying to blame the system, whereas your parents, unlike my grandparents, made the decision, let's focus on the language of the country, and then they can learn this other language later if they want to. Castro's blaming the system. That's just dumb. I tweeted about it. Let's see how many tweets that got. Carrie, what do you think? You think it went viral?
I'm going to say no.
The idea that Julian Castro was somehow not allowed to learn Spanish growing up in San Antonio, Texas, is not only a lie, it's ridiculous. I'd say a good 50% of this fine city speaks conversational, if not fluent Spanish. He doesn't because he didn't want to learn, period. And 29 people saw it.
Yeah, not viral just yet. 29
people. I sent that out 20 minutes ago. 29 people out of 70,000. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Love telling you about our sponsor, Superbeats, because it's great for your cardiovascular health. Your cardiovascular system gets a great boost and gets a great amount of regulation through something called nitric oxide. Nitric oxide is something that we produce ourselves, naturally occurring. It's a miracle molecule that we make less of as we get older. So you get older, you start feeling tired, you're fatigued all the time. You don't really know what the story is. You don't know why it's happening. I'm here to tell you, your blood flow, your circulation, your blood pressure, all is affected by your ability to produce this nitric oxide. Superbeats helps you to restore that ability. Okay, get Superbeats right now. You're going to feel healthier. You're going to feel more energy. You're going to feel like you felt, frankly, some years ago. and it's easy to get. They're offering a risk-free trial. Go to joelovesbeats.com, get this special offer. You're also going to get a free 30-day supply of Super Beats when you order your first time. joelovesbeats.com. joelovesbeats.com. Nitric oxide indicator strips 2. Test your levels. joelovesbeats.com or 1-800-516-8389. Get it done right now. We do have an update on the poll that we asked. Acosta stepped down. This is Alex Acosta, not to be confused with Jim Acosta. And do you think it was the right move? Carrie, how do you think the numbers shook out?
I'm going to say the majority would say yes, it was the right move.
32% say yes.
Oh.
So you'd be wrong on that.
I guess
68%
I am.
Say no.
Okay.
Not the right move. They think that he should have stayed in the job. I've got a minute for you. Make it happen, Carlos, quickly. Let's go.
Yeah, this is... sorry about that. I was raised. I'm 50.
Carlos, I'm going to put you on hold and I'll take you after the break because you're not going to have any time after that to get it out. I'm just saying, we want to hear from Carlos. He's going to tell us how old he is and he grew up in San Antonio and he's going to talk about Julian Castro. So stay right where you are. We come back, we'll take you first. They generally don't hold people over the break, but I didn't need to take him on the air yet, so we didn't really let him get established. And we also, next hour, we'll talk about that carjacker was tracked down and killed by people in the community because he carjacked a car with a bunch of kids in it. And it begs the question, should the people that did this face charges? Was it the right thing to do? Carrie, it's one of those where you go, what would you do?
That's a good question.
888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Got to go on TV. We're back Monday. We continue on radio. Stay here.
This is the Joe Pags Show.
.com.
Now, live from the WOAI studios in San Antonio, it's the Joe Pags Show.
This is the Joe Pags Show. To talk to Joe, call 888-941-PAGS. And now, it's Joe Pags.
Great radio stations across the land, joepags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all right there. Also, the live video feed, it's the Joe Pags Show coming your way on a Friday. Freedom. Oh, yes. Along with Chocolate Voice and Polo and Sam. Your boy Joe Pags, whatever on your mind is going to be fair game. If I know something about it, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll move on. So when somebody like Nancy Pelosi decides to tell illegal aliens, not undocumented migrants, illegal aliens what they should do to avoid ICE, is that legal?
I would say no.
I'm going to say no as well. I mean...
she's doing it, apparently.
Could Nancy Pelosi, hit the media or hit Twitter and say, hey, you robbed the bank at 5th and Main. Here's how you can avoid the police capturing you. Could she do that?
No.
I'm thinking no, right?
No.
Don't people get in trouble for stock tips?
Big trouble.
I mean...
Like, big trouble, like you're going to prison.
Right.
Yes.
I mean...
But that's okay.
Yeah.
You can go to prison for that. Like Martha Stewart went to prison for that.
Mm-hmm.
But Nancy Pelosi is telling illegal aliens how to avoid government and prosecution. So maybe I'm missing out. I don't get it. If you can, Carrie, give me that story, please.
Yep. From the National Review, Speaker Nancy Pelosi on Thursday offered advice to illegal immigrants seeking to avoid arrest and deportation by immigration and customs enforcement officers. An ICE deportation warrant is not the same as a search warrant. If that is the only document ICE brings to a home raid, agents do not have the legal right to enter a home. If ICE agents don't have a warrant signed by a judge, a person may refuse to open the door and let them in, said Pelosi, reading from prepared remarks at her weekly press conference. And Pelosi's comments come as ICE plans to begin raids in 10 major cities Sunday, targeting 2,000 illegal immigrants who have ignored deportation orders. During a closed-door meeting on Thursday, Pelosi urged members of her caucus to help disseminate the party's Know Your Rights campaign to illegal immigrants in their districts who may be targeted during the raids, Politico reported. As she also told her colleagues, she plans to appeal to religious leaders to speak out against the planned raids.
What do religious leaders have to do with it? Religious leaders are okay with you breaking the law?
Sure.
So she said without a warrant. I mean, these people all have court orders to leave the country. I'm guessing when they didn't leave, warrants were all issued in their names. I'm not understanding what's going on with that party. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Want to hear from you on that. But I just don't understand what's going on with the party that's saying we are the party of no law. Look, I just retweeted something from Julian Castro's Twitter because I couldn't help myself. He's got something that, because I just wanted to see what kind of virality he gets when he posts something. And something that he posted today has 472 likes and 232 shares. So it's not over the top. I don't know what time he posted this of this morning. So he hasn't gotten that much virality out of it. But he starts, well, this is it. In the first 100 days of my administration, I would introduce an immigration plan that honors asylum claims, which we already do, if your claim is valid, and decriminalizes migration. So he's calling illegal immigration migration now. So you come any way you can get here, and it's not going to be a criminal act. Also provides a pathway to citizenship for undocumented immigrants. And again, he's just saying if you broke the law and got here, we're going to decriminalize it and give you a way to become a citizen. And then creates a Marshall Plan for Central America to get at the root causes. Well, we're already sending Central America billions of dollars, and I'm not really sure what he's going to do with his Marshall Plan. Of course, my response was, ha, 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 Julian Castro thinks he's going to have an administration. So there you go. So I thought I would check that out. And the reason why it is related to this story with Pelosi is he just said, I don't want laws to be followed. I want to reward you for breaking the law. Pelosi's saying, here's how you avoid the law. So at what point do Democrats get the right to decide which laws are valid and which laws aren't? And if a Democrat decided that that speeding ticket I got was somehow wrong, or I shouldn't have gotten it because I'm Italian or because I'm, you know, such and such a height or weight, can they make that decision? Are they now allowed? Is this party now allowed to arbitrarily decide? These laws I like. These laws I don't. Have a nice day. And it appears as though that's where they're going. Let me go to Carlos, who held through the break. He was going to talk to us about growing up in San Antonio and about the Spanish language versus the English language and what Julian Castro had to say about it. Carlos, I appreciate your patience, man. What's happening?
Sorry about not being ready for you, man.
It's all good. All good.
Coming out guard.
You got it.
Yeah, I was born and raised. I'm first generation American from Mexican descent. My parents came over here legally and everything. My dad encouraged me to learn English, to prioritize English, because he was a businessman.
Yeah.
And he didn't learn it very well. I helped him.
Good.
Now, my mom, she taught herself English by reading the newspaper. She encouraged me to keep both. Now, the thing is, when I was in elementary school, I was in the bilingual program. So they were encouraging us to learn Spanish, to keep with Spanish. So where he gets this, I have no idea.
Well, a guy tweeted to me, Carlos, and tell me if this was your experience. He said, when I was in elementary school around that time, I was told, don't speak Spanish. And I wrote back and I said, well, yeah, if you're not in Spanish class, you should speak English in the rest of the classes. And I'm sure that you were able to go to a Spanish class in San Antonio in the 1960s and 70s. I'm sure that they were offering Spanish in these schools. The allegation that you couldn't study it, like Paul and I were talking last hour, and I think that we didn't see eye to eye, yet we were seeing eye to eye. Then he and I talked about it. He did study Spanish in school. Paulo, it was available to you in high school to learn how to speak Spanish, right?
Yes.
I mean, Julian Castro is pretending like the system said he wasn't allowed to learn it, and that's why he doesn't speak it. Carlos, you're saying that just can't be true.
No, it can be, because the thing is, we were put into bilingual classes to go in both with both languages.
Right.
You know, so that doesn't make any sense. I was in the Edgewood School District, so if there was anyone that they were going to try to push that out of,
yeah,
it would have been us.
Right.
You know, but that doesn't make any sense. I mean, of course, as you go through time, you're using English more.
Right.
So I did lose some of it, but I had to teach myself to pick it up again at times, you know. But other than that, it was never discouraged.
Yeah, I guess
I don't know where this person comes from.
Exactly right. And what bothers me the most about what he's saying is that, look, he made a decision to not focus on Spanish. I agree with him. He shouldn't have. Hey, he lives in America. Hey, he made that decision, doesn't speak the language well. Why not just answer the question and say, you know, I thought that I would focus on English because to be successful in this country, you should speak English. What bothers me the most, Carlos, is he's looking for a reason and somebody to blame. And that's what bothers me.
Well, I agree with you because, like I said, my mom encouraged both. And I lived in basically a Mexican-American neighborhood. There was a couple of black families, a couple of white families,
yeah,
but for the most part, it was Chicanos.
Yeah.
And we flipped back and forth. So it was no big deal.
I find it to be so good. Look, can I just say this? I find it to be very cool. When you're standing around and listening to a conversation and people are speaking Spanish, then you hear a bunch of English words, and then you hear a bunch of Spanish again, and then a bunch of English. Do we call that Spanglish? Paulo, is that Spanglish? You speak a little Spanish and English?
That or Tex-Mex.
Tex-Mex? Okay. Because people in Texas, in this part of Texas, for park, for the verb to park, they say parque. And it's not. That's not the Spanish word for parking at all, I don't think. But it's just, I mean, they do. It's like English and Spanish together. And I actually quite enjoy it. But if somebody asks me why I don't speak Italian, because I'm a big, I got a big long Italian last name, my answer is because I grew up in America. That's why.
Yeah.
And it's not bad. I would love to speak Italian, but I don't.
As a matter of fact, when I was working at Alamo Cement as a teenager, towards my late teens, a guy came down. He was a son-in-law to the Alamo Cement president, whatever. And he looked at me and says, "Dude, you're Mexican." I said, "Yeah." And he says, "Well, how do you speak English?" And I said, "Dude, I was born in here. I'm serious. Just from Oklahoma." And he says, "How do you speak English so well?" I said, "Dude, I was born here, man."
Just so dumb.
Says, "Well, you sound like a dang Texan."
Because you are.
I was raised in Texas. That's my English, I guess. I don't know. What do you mean? And so it was just strange to me. I didn't understand that.
Well,
My mom encouraged it because she says, "Look, the plain fact is, there are a lot of Mexicans here that don't speak English. Look at your dad."
Yeah.
"You're going to have a better opportunity to have more business, to do more, if you know them both."
She was a very smart lady. Carlos, I got to run. It's a great story, and you're absolutely right. I appreciate you. He's right. And that's exactly what my grandparents said to my father and his seven siblings. Learn the language. You want to go and learn Italian later, I'm okay with that. But learn a language now, because you're going to be a bigger success if you do. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Keep it right here.
You're listening to Joe Pags.
Great to have you. Welcome into the Joe Pags Show, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Just to let you know, I'm not talking about the language question anymore. I think we covered it 18 times this Sunday, and that's cool. I do want to talk about whether Democrats or Republicans, for that matter, have the right to just say the law isn't the law. Now, keep in mind, Obama actually did this. Well, what do you mean? Well, Obama did this by saying the whole DACA thing is the way we're going to go from now on. And for those that don't understand, DACA, Deferred Adjudication for Childhood Arrivals, is what it stands for, DACA. DACA basically was the president saying through executive action, "Eric Holder, my attorney general, don't prosecute. Ignore the laws. I'm going to have these people pay a fine, pay a couple hundred dollars, whatever it was. And if you do that, you get 2 more years. And DACA ended in 2 years. Then you had to re-up for DACA, or it had to be re-examined. DACA, everybody who's a DACA recipient is an illegal alien. Every last one of them. And that's not to say a negative thing. It's just governmentally the truth. They're here illegally. They're alien to this country, and they're here illegally. That's true. That didn't change with DACA. Now, this president, and I disagreed with him, offered 1.6 million DACA recipients to have a path to residency, if not citizenship. It was almost three times more, than we allegedly have in the country. We've got like 600 plus thousand DACA recipients right now. The president offered up 1.6 million. In return, he wanted the $25 billion for the wall. So what this President Trump tried to do was take the illegal move from President Obama, who ordered his Department of Justice to not adjudicate people who had broken the law, and we knew that they broke the law, and in fact allow them to sign somewhere, pay some money, and stay scot-free, compete for jobs, get in-state tuition, the whole thing. And then 2 years later, we reassess it, either allow them to pay another fine and stay even longer, or the next president, it's Trump, would have to figure out, how do we fix this now? We can't keep on just ignoring the laws. The laws matter. So how do we fix it? Trump said, we'll give a path to citizenship, a path to residency, whatever. We will give that to these people in return for $25 billion for the wall. In other words, I'm going to close down the border other than ports of entry. We're going to stop people from coming across the border in places other than ports of entry. We're going to stop them from coming in illegally. And in return, I'm going to give you 1.6 million people who came illegally. I'm going to give you them for the chance for residency, permanent status, maybe even citizenship. Of course, the Democrats rejected it. But it's another example of a Democrat saying the law on the books, the immigration laws passed in 1986 and the ones after that, don't matter. Ignore law. Obama just said, forget it. I'm the king. I got a pen and a cell phone, and we will just avoid the law. It's pretty interesting to me. So now you've got Pelosi saying, I'm also going to avoid the law. That's going to happen. Going to avoid the law. I'm going to actually not only avoid the law, I'm going to do what the San Francisco, was the Oakland mayor, I forget her name, said, here's how you avoid immigration and customs enforcement. Here's how you avoid ICE. Run, hide, know your rights, don't open the door, ignore them. Okay, these are people that knowingly broke the law. This isn't like you were a kid that was brought in. You know, Carrie, I've talked about this a million times. I really do have sympathy for the kids that are brought in. They're 1, 2 years old. They don't know from Mexico. They don't know from Honduras. Right. They don't know anything about this other country. Many of them don't even speak the language. They think they're Americans. They only know America. They only have American friends. They only live in their neighborhood where they've lived their entire life. I feel for them. It's like having a kid in a car seat when the parents go and rob a bank. Kid didn't do it. Kid didn't rob the bank. Why is he punished? So I'm down. I get that. But these are people, the DACA recipients who went and signed up, they know they have violated the law. They know that. But I feel for them. I get it. Something should be done. The people who are being rounded up by ICE, the 2,200, they're adults. Yeah, but what about their families? You're ripping families out. No, send the family back with them. We're talking about the parents, not the DACA recipients, not the kids, not those who didn't know, not those who didn't take any action. We're talking about the parents, the adults who broke the law knowingly. I don't care if you're established. I don't care if you got a neighborhood. I don't care if your kids are in school. You knew you did this. Now, if you want your kids to stay here, figure out a way for them to stay here. But you got to go. You broke the law and you were ordered to leave. Your asylum claim was turned down. You have to go now. And there's really no question about it. But you've got the Speaker of the House, who can't even keep her own party in line, out there telling people how to avoid the law. And I think it's nuts. I just do. I think it's nuts. And oh, by the way, I guess AOC said that Pelosi had a problem with people of color. And then like everybody of color, whatever that means, on the Democrat side of the House, came out in support of Pelosi. And AOC had to sort of adjust what she said. Well, maybe I went a little too far. When the Congressional Black Caucus is like telling you, no, you can't say that, then you know that you really screwed up. Somebody wrote an op-ed, I think, in the Wall Street Journal today about how AOC is going to single-handedly get Trump reelected. Maybe so. Let me go to the phone lines on that. It's going to be Arthur, who's in Massachusetts. Arthur, what's going on? Hi.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Joe, and that's exactly what I wanted to get your opinion on.
Cool.
What do you think is happening with the Democratic Party, with the infighting with AOC and Ayanna Presley and her ilk and Nancy Pelosi? Do you think it's going to bring Nancy Pelosi down?
No, I think it's going to shut them up because Nancy Pelosi has invested decades and decades into her standing in the House of Representatives. And as cool as it is to have the brand new toy in these very loud, very far left wing progressive members of the House, they don't have the power Nancy Pelosi has. And I think you just found out this week that that AOC may be, you know, a fun person to follow on social media, but she has no power. She's a freshman House member, and when you go after Nancy Pelosi, who has been reelected to be the Speaker, you're going to lose. And I think that she found that it was a powerful message sent from the leadership in the House. Now, I think that the left, the far left of the progressives, like those that you mentioned, will continue to push, but they're going to find out they don't have the kind of sway they think they have.
I hope not, that's for sure. But actually, if they did, that could be the destructive button for the Democratic Party.
It could be. I hear you, Arthur, and I appreciate you. Open line now at 888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. We'll present that story about the carjacker after the break as well, and we'll ask a very simple question. What do you do? Do you arrest all these people? Do they all go to prison? When you hear the details, I'm going to ask you very, very directly. Do you punish people who went after the guy that put an entire family at risk or not? 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags.
It's Friday. It's time to pop a top. Coming up at 8 on The Michael Berry Show.
Stations across the land, JoePags.com, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, email, all of that and more. Right there, also the live video feed and the Parlay app is there. Everything is there. Just go to the website, JoePags.com, JoePags.com. Getting it done, making it happen. We're getting all. Listen, at the end of the day, we're just getting it done. Carrie, it's getting done because we're getting it done.
Absolutely. Yes.
Hello?
Mm-hmm.
Because if we don't get it done, who's getting it done?
Exactly. We're the only ones.
What the hell are you drinking over there? What the hell is that?
Water.
How much ice did you put in it? You had to shake it because of the ice or what?
Well, no, because I went in and when I went to the restroom, I was like, oh, I needed to get some water. So I put water in a cup.
Yes.
And my container here with ice was in here, but I wanted to mix it so the water would get cold.
It's a nice container. I don't think it looked like that.
Hey, look at my container. You see that?
Hold on a second. Let me see yours.
Look who nice. It is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really stupid.
It's funny because you can tell what we both stupid. Like, right?
Right. So Polo's got like a Transformers logo, yeah. And Terry's got stupid Jovi on there. Bon dumbness.
Lots of stupid.
Here's what I have. I have a can of Zevia. That's what I have.
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, I feel bad for the people at the grocery store because we did the call-in order yesterday and could do the curbside.
Mm-hmm.
Where you just pull up there and you text them
that
you're there.
I need to try that, yeah.
This poor guy took him like an hour and a half just to unload the Zevia into my car.
Dude, how much are you drinking?
And then at the end, about 15 a day. So at the end, he says, all right, you're all set, chief. When somebody calls me chief, I never know how to take that.
It means you're old. And
it could mean I'm old.
Yeah.
It could mean that he thinks I'm the boss. I'm the chief.
No, that you're old.
It could mean he thinks I'm American Indian. That could be.
No.
If he passed for American Indian.
No, I don't think so.
That happens to me a lot.
They call you chief?
No, I get boss a lot.
Why? What is that?
I don't know. I get boss, sometimes brother.
I always use brother. I call everybody brother if they're a dude.
Yeah.
If it's a woman, I don't really add anything, another noun. But I think one time in my life, somebody said, I'm not your brother. Like one time. And I was like, well, then you're stupid. You're never talking to me again the rest of your life. But no, I felt bad for this guy. But when he called me chief, I had a quick option to say, how did you know they call me chief? Because to really like put him on the spot because it would have been hilarious. Or I just said,
sure.
You bet, brother. I just let it go because I was like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's old. It's what they say
what
to old people.
Say? What do women say?
What
not
do
chief,
women say?
Not brother, not
no.
dude, not skippy.
I say
what
sister,
do you guys say?
Maybe. Sometimes sister.
You do not. You do not.
Yeah, I do sometimes.
You probably sound really stupid saying sister.
What are you? Wow, that's
I'm just,
so
I'm just,
rude.
I'm being honest.
Oh
I think
my
that you
gosh.
Probably, I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm saying.
Yeah, that I sound stupid if I say that.
No, I said you
exactly.
probably, I can imagine you saying, hey, how you doing, sister? It just wouldn't come off right with you. I'm just saying.
I also think a lot of women
or girlfriend.
Saying,
hey, girlfriend.
Or girl.
Yeah, girlfriend, I get.
Yeah, I do, girl. Hey, girl. Yeah, I do that on text
okay.
message a lot. Yeah.
Now, can I do that? Hey, you. Hey, how you doing, girl? Can I do that?
No, you cannot.
No, without the button.
No.
Girl. So no. I couldn't go up and say, hey, girl, way to get it.
No.
No?
You cannot. No. No.
But I could say you go, girl. Like at the gym, if somebody does something, you go, girl. Damn it. That was great.
No, that's okay, I think. That's okay.
I've actually, on occasion, called a woman a dude.
Dude. Really?
Dude, you hit that out of the park. That was awesome. I think that works.
I think I've been called dude a couple of times.
Yeah,
actually.
I've called some women dudes before.
Yeah.
I mean, and some women, oddly, that I was calling dude, turned out they were dudes. So that's always a positive when you figure that out. Sam, you want to fill me in on what's happening at Area 51? Or Polo, do you know? What the hell's going on at Area 51? Somebody want to fill me in?
I'll let Sam, if she can.
It is ridiculous. Sure, I'll tell
you can't,
everyone.
You can't say the name of the person who started the page. You see his okay. name?
No.
Blank hosting cause I'm in shambles is the guy's name. And I can't see
the
blank part. All right.
Yeah.
So what is going on? Because like a half a million people are now saying they're going.
So apparently someone started a Facebook page to set up a coalition to meet up outside of Area 51 and storm Area 51 and find out the truth of what's going on there. And apparently over a half a million people said that they're going to meet outside of this base and storm it.
When is this happening?
What's going on. In September.
I'm sorry, can't you be shot on site if you get caught out there?
It's a government facility. You can't just show up there.
They can't stop us all, so that's their whole mindset.
So if a few of us die, that's okay. Yeah. At least we get in.
And there was even somebody saying that if they... I don't know this anime character, but they're saying if they could run like Naruto, if that's how you say the guy's name or the character's name.
I don't know.
Yeah, and maybe
yes, it's a silly run where you throw your arms behind your back and you put your head down and you try to run as fast as you can. Okay. It's ridiculous.
It sounds like you look like a chicken.
But there's been some celebrities that have been saying that they're going to go.
Let me guess. Alyssa Milano is going to go.
Close. Because
Trump is hiding something at Area 51.
Close.
Well, who's going?
I believe one person that I saw was Snooki.
Oh, well, thank God. Now you know it's a serious deal.
Yeah.
My Jersey Shore brethren are going to go. That's going to make sense. Mm. But you know what's going to happen? If Snooki and the crew shows up, they're going to be like, I don't know why we came here, but I think we should try to hook up.
Just fist pump and throw a party.
That's right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. Then, are you guys intrigued by Area 51? I'm not.
Yes.
I am.
Really? A little bit.
I mean, come on.
I could not care less.
I have an Alienware laptop. How could I not?
Well, so do I.
Well, then you should be too.
Okay, I'm going to go there. I've got my laptop and see if the aliens take it over. What are we going to do with it?
The truth is out there, yeah.
Come on, dude. The whole thing is just so dumb. Now, of the 554th or 533,000 saying that they're going, and there are another 522,000 say they're interested. So it's over, 1.5. It's over 1. What is it? A million 50,000 say that they're either interested or they're going. How many do you think are really going?
About 100.
I think they're actually going to make an event out of this. If they don't, they're missing their opportunity. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Sam, I'm looking at the page. Somebody that we both know lives in New York says she's going. She's not going. You know what I mean? She's not going. It's a lie.
And some people are even, saying that the fact that they're letting them, the government know when they're planning on doing this, that they're messing up, that they need to go, sooner so they can't, pull everything out of there and people won't get to find out what's going on there.
All right, so the government somehow would sneak the stuff out of there.
Yes.
In the dark of night, and nobody would see with all the technology we have available to us.
Well, I mean, if there is alien technology there, there's a good chance it could get, cloaked. And then sneak out.
Okay, Paul, you believe this crap way too much. You're way too into this stuff, man. What the heck's going to get cloaked? All right, 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Gary, I got to tell you something. I talked to you during the break. I'm not doing the carjacking story. Guy carjacked the car. People caught up to him. They killed him. Whatever. All right, so you're good. Don't carjack. Here's a lesson, kids. Don't carjack cars.
Yeah, that's a great lesson, yes.
Okay, I'm done with that story. Okay. We'll go to the phone lines, lighten things up a little bit. I guess this Hey Google is now listening to us too all the time. Is that true?
Yeah, I did see that story.
Because Alexa is listening to us all the time. And then when you ask Alexa, do you have Alexa, by the way, at the house?
I do, as a matter of fact.
I do as well.
We were just talking about this. My husband just messaged me because we use Alexa to listen to music.
Right.
Right? We're in the kitchen and we're cooking. And we were talking about a certain sports lesson for our youngest at a certain country club for golf. And that exact ad came up in my husband's Facebook feed today.
Yeah. No, I did not believe Sam when she originally told me Facebook was listening. Now I know she's right. Yeah. They're 100% listening. Yeah.
Thank you.
So we have Alexa, and I said, Alexa, who's listening to us right now? Nobody's listening. I only listen when you ask me to. Mm-mm. I'm like, you just listened to me. What are you talking about? You actually just answered my question. But you said Alexa first, so that unlocked it. No, they're always listening. I actually was writing on a Facebook message to a friend that I was thinking about getting a new computer, which, of course, perks Polo up because then he thinks he's in line to get the old computer.
Well, I was just going to say, what if you tried using it to your benefit?
Like what?
Well, if you asked, like, hey, Alexa, something, something to Joe Pag Show or whatever, and then see if that starts showing up,
It's not a bad call. I thought you were going to say, hey, Alexa, I really want more money. And then I start getting ads for here's some free money. That would make sense to
me. Right, you'll start getting a lot of people from Nigeria reaching out.
That's right, because they all have the money in Nigeria.
Yes.
But I said to a friend, I'm thinking about getting another computer, and suddenly every ad on every browser I've ever gone to is trying to sell me a new computer.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, that's creepy.
Listening.
That's like Area 51 crap right there. I think 500,000 people should show up and figure out why my Alexa's sneaking around and listening to me. Hey, Google, now if you say, hey, Google, they listen to everything. And I think if you go through the terms of service, which none of us, listen to me when I say this, not anybody has ever read the terms of service ever on any of these things that we do. Ever. Oh, Facebook has updated our terms of service. I'm like, great, click. You know what I mean? Click here to accept. Accept. I didn't read it. And what it probably says is, we're listening to everything you're doing. We're tracking everywhere you go. And we're going to try to sell you crap all day long.
I bet it does say that.
That's exactly what it's doing. It's got to be, right?
Yeah. Yep.
888-941-PAGS, 888-941-7247, joepags.com. Very, very quickly, Lynn, very quickly in Kansas, what's happening?
Hey.
Hey.
What's happening is I want to know how come that Nancy Pelosi can disregard a court order about that, but why can't President Trump disregard the court order about the citizenship question on the census count?
Oh, because he's not Nancy Pelosi. You didn't know?
Well, that did look a little different.
Just a little bit. I appreciate you. It's a good question. And it's a valid question unless you realize and understand how left versus right politics work. left versus right politics work in this way. The left can do anything it wants with impunity. The right can't wake up in the morning without being charged with a crime. Carrie, was that clear enough on that?
Well, clear, yes.
Little segment I call Joe Pags Teaches You People Politics.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, can I just say this before I hit a break?
Sure.
Just lean back a second. I'm riding down a road today, and I'm about to come to that stupid merge that I talk about all the time.
Uh-huh.
And it's legitimately 3 miles backed up. And I could already see in the left lane, there are a couple of big trucks that have, like, spaces for 30 cars in front of them. They're just not letting people around.
Mm-hmm.
What'd your boy do? Take a guess at what I did.
The same thing you did that last time?
Nah, you know, I don't think I'm having somebody yell the F word at me today.
Oh, okay. So what did you think do? I did? You went ahead and merged to the right, way ahead of time?
No, I did not wait in the merge lane for 4 miles. I did not.
Did you just ignore them?
No, because, I mean, either I had to be behind them or behind the line of cars. Sam, you know my driving pretty well. What do you think I did?
I think you waited till they merged and went ahead in front of the line.
That's not what I did. I turned my happy ass around in a U-turn and took a different route home.
There you
go. That's what I did.
That works.
I turned around and I avoided the idiots. Now, when I took the alternate route, and I won't say what the alternate route is, when I got back on the road where I needed to be, I was ahead of all of those people waiting in 3 mile backed up lines.
Oh, see, that's nice.
So here's a little something from me to you. Have a nice freaking day, you merge dorks. Seriously, I'm gonna call them merge dorks.
Ticked off and now, in traffic.
A simple question that a friend of mine asked today: why can't TxDOT, the Department of Transportation, or the county, put up a freaking sign that says simply use both lanes? Why can't they do that?
That just sounds too easy.
Carrie, can I ask you something? Why are there two lanes if you can't use them both?
Dude, that's a great question. Should be able to. Yeah.
Did you just give me credit for a great question?
I think I did.
I have it on tape.
I did.
Dude,
yeah, dude.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
I think you feel sorry for me today because I'm about to buy a truck. It's 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Stay right here.
Joe Pags. For details.
Updating you with the news that matters, coming up at the top of the hour on News Radio 1200 WOAI.
I got a long email from some guy named David. The email's just so... one of these guys that starts with, I don't normally get a chance to listen to your program.
You know,
but here's an 8-page email. Said something about... And by the way, he served in the Air Force. Thank you for your service. I appreciate that. But he's talking about how we spoke Spanish here before America decided to invade Mexico. When did we invade Mexico? When did that happen?
I don't know. I invaded Mexico.
And he's talking about how I don't know anything about the city of San Antonio, which I've lived here almost 15 years now. We didn't invade Mexico. Texas was part of Mexico until Santa Ana became an ass wagon, and Texas said we're gonna earn our independence. Then Texas was annexed by the United States. The people of Texas agreed to be annexed. If Santa Ana weren't such a piece of garbage, Texas might still be Mexico. We didn't invade Mexico. When did we invade Mexico? Anybody?
We did not. No.
I mean, Spain did. The Aztecs and the Mayans were brutal, horrible American Indians or Native American, whatever we're calling people, tribes. They were killing people. Why does this guy think they speak Spanish in Mexico? Because America invaded? What is he talking about? Yeah, no, Sparky. Appreciate you. And then at the end he says, sincerely.
You know, he means it. Yes.
He said,
it's all good.
And then he challenges me at the end. I'm not afraid to challenge contrary opinions. Are you? Nope, not at all. Okay. Call in, Sparky. Because I got to tell you, what you wrote me doesn't make any sense. If you think that America invaded Mexico, you didn't learn your history very well. And I know that they're teaching it better than that in San Antonio. But I love you like a brother. 888-941-PAGS, joepags.com. Got to remind you about my good friends over at ButcherBox. ButcherBox is getting it done right for a great grilling season. I'm talking about wonderful meat. You're going to love it. Your family's going to love it. I've been eating this now for about a week and a half, and it's just great stuff. Grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, wild-caught sockeye salmon, butcher boxes, over 20 different cuts of meat with customizable boxes and a variety of other options to choose from. And they work closely with the best farms to make sure that it tastes incredible. No added hormones, no antibiotics ever. Butcher Box is delivered right to your door with free shipping, and a month's worth of meat from Butcher Box comes out to about $6 a meal, if you can believe it. Butcher Box is making sure you've got burgers for all of your barbecues this summer season. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/pags for $20 off your first box plus 6 free burgers in every box until October 15th. butcherbox.com/pags, $20 off. And you're going to get burgers and extra burgers in every box until October 15th. ButcherBox.com/pags. Once again, ButcherBox.com/pags. Make that happen right now. Let me grab a quick phone call here. Corpus Christi, going to be Mike. Mike, what's going on?
How you doing, Joe? Thanks for having me, man.
You bet. Don't have much time. What's happening?
Well, I just wanted to draw some parallels between... I really don't know why Colin Kaepernick had a problem with the colonial flag. I didn't know if you knew or
he's stupid.
If you had an idea.
He says because they're all slaveholders.
Okay, well, it's funny because so were the Greeks, and Nike is the goddess of war, and the loser of the war automatically became slaves.
There you go. Greece. Imagine that. But he's the big spokesman for Nike, so that's okay.
Exactly, and Nike's the one, she's the one that granted victory, so she's actually the one that granted the power to the oppressors. So,
Mike, what a great point, man. I've not heard that point, but I'm so glad you held on. So Nike actually was a Greek god or goddess, whatever.
Got it.
And when they won in war, they would enslave the people they beat.
Yeah, they mostly killed the males. And this is just based off historical reference. I Wikipedia'd before I started making this point.
Excellent.
And then, you know, they kept mostly the women as slaves, you know, concubines or whatever they did, but as slaves and their children. And then they killed most of the men.
Well, I got to go. Mike, I got to go, but I think you've made an amazing point that I'm going to use, actually. Pop culture. Bip. Dirty pop. Hi, Paula, what's up?
So, I don't know if you saw this comment that I guess the president made about Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, what'd he say?
I guess when he just said Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's like, you know what? He died. And he's like, and I was there. And I guess they're regarding, I guess, the whole thing with The Apprentice. And, of course... Arnold comes back, says, I'm still here. He's like, when I compare tax returns.
Wow, stupid.
Yeah.
Mike, seriously, I think the president just stopped that crap. It's just such a diversion, distraction.
Yeah.
All right, that is Carrie. That is Polo. That is Sam. I'm Joe. We got to get out of here. Have a great